Yeah. Do you have meetings going on right now too?
Oh, I'm at your disposal, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Well, then that's you're good. How'd you fix that? How'd you do that? Okay. There you go. Okay. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee meeting. And I am so happy that you're all here to honor, represent, and acknowledge our men and women in uniform and those who are serving diligently throughout the world. And I thank you. So the veterans in the House, I'd like you to please stand and be recognized. Veterans in the House, please stand and be recognized. There you go. Thank you so much. And as the chair, I will do this every meeting. And senators, please remind me if I forget to acknowledge our men and women in uniform. And we'll begin with this. So we do not have a quorum at this time. So we're still missing one. But if we we will start as we will start as a subcommittee. So, Madam Chair, would you call the roll?
Yes, sir. Archuleta?
Here.
Grove? Hurtado?
Here.
Nielsen? Roth?
Here.
Umberg? Wilk?
Present.
So we do have a quorum.
We have a quorum.
We have a quorum.
Thank you so very much.
You're welcome.
That's right. Counting myself. So we have a quorum. And ladies and gentlemen, just for your information, when we have a quorum, we continue with our voting. If we don't, we go into a subcommittee, and it takes us until we bring the quorum back in and we re-vote. So we will continue on. So this is our first bill hearing for the year, and we ask all of you, if you're asked to speak and you do come up to speak, state your name clearly and your unit, organization, whatever it might be, so we can all hear you. So let's begin by this being our first hearing, and I'll ask the committee for the adoption of the committee rules.
Move.
Motion. Please read the roll.
Yes, sir. Archuleta?
Yes, aye.
Grove? Hurtado?
Aye.
Hurtado, aye. Nielsen? Roth?
Aye.
Roth, aye. Umberg? Wilk?
Aye.
Aye.
And
so the committee rules have passed.
The committee rules have passed. Thank you very much. Next time. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we have four bills on our calendar today, and we have no bills on consent, so we will address each and every bill. So our first bill is Senate Bill 245, and Lingling Chang, you have the opportunity to present your bill, and along with any other witnesses you might have.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and committee members. Today I am here to present SB 245, or what I like to refer to as the Pets for Vets Act. The most recent amendments have limited this bill to dogs and cats only, and I would like to thank the committee staff for their input on these changes. This bill would waive adoption fees at local public animal shelters for military veterans, many of whom seek emotional support animal companions through the public shelter system. California is home to nearly 2 million veterans, some of whom are coping with PTSD or other service-related mental health conditions. This legislation would be available to all veterans in recognition of their service to our country, but those who turn to animal companions to cope with PTSD and other mental health conditions will especially benefit. Animal companions have been shown to lower depression, lower levels of social isolation, and provide an overall greater satisfaction with life. As a longtime dog owner, I can attest to the joy a pet brings to one's life. This legislation was made for people like Lorraine Cian, who I recently met with in my district office. She is a U.S. Army veteran who served 6 years in Iraq. After returning home, Lorraine sought the comfort and companionship of an emotional support animal. She had to borrow money from a family member to pay for her new pet. Other veterans do not have that option. This bill opens the door for so many veterans seeking companionship and emotional support through pet adoption. SB 245 received unanimous support in the BNP committee and has earned bipartisan co-authors. I respectfully ask for this committee's support as well. With me here today is, I think Alex Hoare is running late, who's on behalf of the California Associated Veteran Service Agencies, and then we have Seth Reeb on behalf of numerous veterans organizations, including the American GI Forum of California and California State Commanders Veterans.
Good afternoon, Chair members. My name is Seth Reeb with Reeb Government Relations. My clients, I'm representing American Legion, Department of California, American GI Forum of California, AMVETS Department of California, California Association of County Veteran Service Officers, California State Commanders Veterans Council, National Guard Association of California, and the Vietnam Veterans of America, California State Councils, all in support of this legislation. As a veteran with PTSD, I found a new world of comfort having not a service dog, but even though I do not need a service dog due to my disabilities, I love my companion dog. She has always been there for me and can calm me down. She wakes me up in the middle of the night when I'm having nightmares and just knows when I'm overall having a bad day and is there to comfort me. One of the best things that I've found for my PTSD. Thank you.
Mr. Chair and members, Alex Torres on behalf of the California Association of Veteran Service Agencies. I would just echo Mr. Reeb's comments. The support that these animals provide to veterans is immeasurable, and there's a growing baseline of scientific evidence to support the benefits that it offers these veterans. Would urge an aye vote strongly in support. Thank you so much.
Any other comments? Now let me open up the questions to the floor. My fellow colleagues, Senator Richard Roth.
I will be obviously supporting this. I am a little uncertain at this point as to the standards used to qualify to have the word veteran added to the driver's license. There were some issues of a few months ago. I assume those have been resolved with CalVet. I just ask that you take a look at it to make sure that whatever the standards are, that they're not overly restrictive and eliminate the opportunity for some veterans to take advantage of your bill. And then the other point I would make is some of us don't have veteran ID cards, but have other government issued cards that clearly indicate that we're veterans. And so it would make it a little difficult to utilize this unless we wanted to go down to the local CVSO and get the letter and then go to the DMV and have another driver's license issued. So you might be able, as you move through this, to just address that with a simple sentence or two. But I'd be happy to move the bill at the appropriate point, Mr. Chair. Thank you very much. Great effort.
Thank you for moving the bill. Any additional questions or comments? Is there anyone in support of the bill? Would you please come up and address the microphone if you're in support? Nope. Anyone in opposition of the bill? Seeing none, then I would go ahead and Senator Chang, please, your closing remarks.
I just respectfully ask.
Good. And Madam Secretary, will you, now that we're going to send this on, and we're going to move the bill on with the votes. We'll send it on to appropriations. So if I can have the roll call.
Senate Bill 245, do pass, but first we refer to appropriations. Archuleta?
Yes, aye.
Aye. Grove? Hurtado? Hurtado, aye. Nielsen? Roth?
Aye.
Roth, aye. Umberg? Wilk?
Aye.
Wilk, aye.
We're going to keep the roll open. We've got a few that we'll bring in to complete the roll, but it will pass and on to appropriation.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ling Ling Chang. And the next one is Senate Bill 500, Mike Morrell, and good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. Thank you very much. You guys ready?
We are ready.
Okay, I'm ready too. Well, good afternoon. SB 500 is a plan to expand career opportunities for our state's returning disabled veterans. The bill would create a graduate-level education assistance program for disabled vets who are unable to get the same aid at the federal level. SB 500 is modeled after the federal GI Bill, as well as a similar vocational rehabilitation program that is offered to some disabled veterans. Currently, disabled veterans may be entitled to the federal vocational program, but it lacks transparency, and qualified applicants may be denied benefits with little to no explanations. So we want to ensure that California veterans, or disabled veterans, are not denied their benefits and create a program here. The civilian job market is becoming more and more competitive, as I think we all know, and having a bachelor's degree sometimes is not always enough for the entry-level positions. So we know that veterans are typically hardworking professional leaders, but do not always stand out on applications like veterans from past generations. So by creating a path for the students to strive and thrive for their master's degree, we will be investing in their futures and, of course, the future of California while strengthening our workforce. So it's no secret that when veterans return to the workforce from the service, it yields positive results. And so with me today is my friend on behalf of this bill and constituent Richard Valdez from the Disabled American Veterans Association. Thank you.
I want to thank you, Chairman Archuleta, for this opportunity to speak on SB 500. Again, my name is Richard Valdez, and I'm the Legislative Director for Disabled American Veterans Department of California. I'm also a Vietnam veteran, 1967-68. And I understand completely what this bill will do for our disabled veterans that have exhausted all avenues of approach in terms of getting an advanced degree. I was fortunate. I worked for a company that paid for my for me to finish my degree after I'd exhausted all my benefits. And when they asked me to take on an additional job in a classified environment, I didn't have the skills I felt to be able to do that job. They sent me to UCLA for a two-year program in order to develop that. So I can see the value in SB 500 in helping our veterans here in California. And I think it's an appropriate thing to do for our veterans. I want to thank Senator Morrell for coming up with this bill. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Is there anyone here in opposition of this bill? Anyone in opposition? Not. Is there anyone here in support of the bill? Please state your name.
Good afternoon, Chair
the microphone
members.
So we can all hear you, please.
Good afternoon, members. Good afternoon, Chair and members. My name is Seth Reed with Reeve Government Relations, representing American GI Forum of California and Vets Department of California, Military Officers Association of America, California Council of Chapters, and the Vietnam Veterans of America, California State Council, all in support. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair and members, Alex Torres with Strategies 360 on behalf of the California Association of Veteran Service Agencies in strong support. Thank you.
And I have a motion. And, just 1 second. Thank you so much. We have the motion on the floor to support the bill. Let's see. So, Senator Morrell, let's see, the bill is passed, and you have your closing remarks.
Yes, respectfully ask for an aye vote for this, for the men and women who have served and protected our country.
Great. Let's go ahead and call roll, Secretary.
Senate Bill 500, do pass, but first we refer to appropriations. Archuleta?
Aye.
Archuleta, aye. Grove? Grove, aye. Hurtado? Hurtado, aye. Nielsen? Roth?
Aye.
Roth, aye. Umberg? Wilk?
Aye.
Wilk, aye.
Thank you.
The bill does pass. We're going to hold it over to get the other couple of votes. Congratulations. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, may I approach the bench?
Ah. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your support. very appropriate. Thank you. Welcome home. So now we'll go on to the next item. Item next, 501. Melissa Hurtado, would you step down and take your position at the desk? Senator, you may present your bill.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members. I'd like to start off by accepting the committee amendments offered by the committee, which would clarify the usage conditions of the Reedley Armory, and which are before you today in draft amendment form, and will be taken in Governmental Organization Committee. I'd also like to thank our chair and Veronica Badillo with the committee for working with our office on these important amendments. Senate Bill 501 will help a small community in the Southern Central Valley retain an armory that will help serve our veterans in the region. Over the last several years, the Reedley area veterans have operated the armory for various events, including veteran services. The Reedley area vets work to help returning veterans who are struggling to make ends meet through rental assistance or working with foundations like the Joe Lusk Memorial Foundation to provide resources, food, and assistance with medical costs to veterans and their families. The city of Reedley is invested in making sure the armory stays in the community for purposes of serving our veterans and already works to maintain the armory, including the lawn and landscaping, and works with nonprofit entities to ensure veteran services are accessible to veterans in the region. However, while the Reedley Armory was authorized for sale by AB 3251, the sale of the armory parcel has been postponed, and the city of Reedley has been working with the state to try to keep the armory. The Reedley Armory serves as a critical access point for veterans in the Reedley and surrounding region who often have a difficult time accessing a nearby American Legion post or nearby veterans serving organization. For example, the nearest Veterans Memorial District is in Clovis, over 2 hours away by public transportation and 40 minutes away by car. SB 501 would help ensure that our rural communities and veterans also have access to these critical services, and I ask for your support today on this important measure. With me today, I have Nicole Ziba with the City of Reedley and Anthony Jewell, adjutant for the American Legion Post 35.
My turn? Well, I'm Anthony Jewell of the American Legion Post 35, Fresno County Community of Reedley, California. I'm here today to encourage your support for our veterans' continued use of our former National Guard Armory. You should know that our veterans have been excellent stewards of the property. Not only have we provided custodial care, but we've made improvements such as remodeling the kitchen and appliances and also converting the men's shower area into a women's ADA-compliant latrine. We did these improvements at our cost. Our area veterans have regarded the armory as community property, and as such, we have shared the property by hosting school district events or civic events such as the recent Korean Visitors Delegation. While there have been celebratory occasions, there have also been those of final respect for the families of our fallen veterans. Financially, many of those families might not have been able to afford a reception hall had the armory not been available. Many California communities have the benefit of a sustained Home Guard or National Guard to assist in emergencies or disaster preparedness. That absence in our community can be partially restored by enjoining the City of Reedley to share the armory with the veterans as an emergency facility. The property and the facility have and can provide unique potential logistical support. The building floor is at grade and with a 14 by 14 roll-up door can enable a forklift to transfer of emergency supplies. Emergency electrical service can be easily accessed with a small modification to provide an external electrical generator for support. In summary, we hope that you can understand how important that the Reedley Armory is to our veterans and to our community. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senators. I am Nicole Ziba. I'm the city manager for the city of Reedley, and I'd like to explain to you that the city of Reedley is a city of 25,000 population, very small, rural-based, agricultural-based community. We're 76% low-income Hispanic population. So the veterans that we're talking about were born in poverty, basically. They serve their country. They come back. That doesn't mean they exit poverty. And what has happened over the course of the past decade is they've gotten together, formed their own nonprofit entity, nothing to do with the city. I'm very proud to say they've done this on their own and for over a decade have used that facility for fundraising so that all the funds they raise provide veteran services. They haven't asked the city for a dime. They've done this on their own. The only support the city has been able to give them is to cut the lawn for them. And so right now they are in a state of, frankly, panic because they've provided services for so long. In the region where we are a disadvantaged community. We are a draw. The Armory is a draw for veterans, not just within Reedley. I would say probably in a 50-mile surrounding area. And these veterans know they can go to the Armory for services. We don't disagree with the National Guard strategy for new armories. I think it's a brilliant strategy. And as they surplus off the armories, we understand completely. The difference here in Reedley is that our armory has been in use by veterans for veterans. That's distinctly different than these other armories that have been vacant. The other difference is the other armories that are being surplused off are in communities. We talked to the National Guard about the one they just sold in Santa Barbara, over $1 million. In Reedley, because we're 25,000 population that is low income, poverty pocket, an unemployment rate of almost 20%, we can't come up with the $500,000 that they want for this property. And so graciously, Senator Hurtado has run SB 501 on behalf of the Reedley area veterans. And I'm here to say that we support the Reedley area veterans, the city does, in as many ways as we can. We're here to let you know that they have been such great stewards of the state's property. They have remodeled on their own. They have raised money on their own. They want to continue providing services to the vets. I understand there were amendments to the bill, and we completely support those amendments. The city supports what the Reedley area veterans want to do in terms of installing HVAC systems. Everything they've done over the course of the past decade, they've done in a building that is not ADA compliant and has no air conditioning, no heating, and they've still been able to make lemonade out of lemons, essentially. And so we are a substantially different community than you will find these other armories. And we just would plead with you to understand that our veterans have trouble, because we are a low-income community, have trouble getting up to Fresno for services. And we have been very successful, they have been very successful, in pulling those services down to Reedley so that surrounding community veterans can access services they wouldn't otherwise be able to access. So we ask for your support on Senator Hurtado's bill.
Go on, Senator. Is there any opposition to this bill? Please come forward. Anyone? Is there anyone in support of the bill?
Good afternoon, Chair and members. My name is Seth Reeb with Reeb Government Relations, representing National Guard Association of California in support.
Good. Senator Roth?
Thank you. First, let me make a motion to approve the bill. I obviously support supporting veterans both in rural areas and frankly all across our state and nation. They preserve the freedom for us, and they deserve appropriate action from us when they need help. I do have some concerns. I've spent six years actually as the Budget Subcommittee Four Chair, which dealt with armory surplusing, armory disposition, and the rest, including armory renovation. And my concerns have to do with that. As you may know, we have about 80 armories in the state of California that are in need of renovation. Many of these were built in the 40s and the 50s when females were not serving in the National Guard for the most part. Well, now they are. And most of these are soldiers. They're field units. Many of those armories have no female restrooms or changing facilities. So when we surplus armories in the state of California, historically, we have sold them at some price. Now, the statute says market price, but we know that's not the case. the Department of General Services and the Military Department take into account the financial circumstances of the local entity that's trying to acquire them. And many of them are not in Santa Barbara. Brawley comes to mind, and that are similarly situated, I'm sure, to the city of Reedley. So when these armories are sold, the proceeds are put into what's called an armory fund, and that armory fund is used with other funds to remodel these armories around the state. And it's about a $4 or $5 million tab per remodel, give or take. There's some splitting of the armory cost with the federal government, state and feds, but I'm concerned if we start a practice of not capturing at least some money out of the disposition of armories, that we may interfere with our ability to remodel the armories that are currently utilized by our currently serving men and women in uniform. Not to diminish the need that we have to support veterans, but we need to balance what we do so that we're providing services, frankly, to both components. So having said all that, I've made the motion. I'm firmly in support of the bill. I note that the amendments provide a transfer to the city of Reedley after 5 years, apparently at no cost. It's my understanding that the Department of General Services and the Military Department had negotiated the price down to somewhere around $200,000 to $250,000 for the armory. If I'm wrong, maybe, because I'm not in the negotiations. And maybe that's too much. And I understand small cities are financially challenged. Actually, all cities are financially challenged in the state, largely due to what we do to them up here. But having said that, if we are going to start the practice, and I'm asking the author to take a look at this, then maybe as part of this, we should define a hardship standard that we can apply to small rural communities. So we're not dealing with these requests on a piecemeal basis, because we will get more, but rather we're dealing with them on the same basis once we apply, set a hardship standard, and then apply it to municipalities that simply cannot pay perhaps anything for the armory that they badly need in order to support our veterans. So, Senator, that's my suggestion and request that you take a look at that. I reiterate my motion, Mr. Chair, and thank you for your patience.
Thank you for your motion and your comment. Senator Nielsen.
I do not speak with the authority of my colleague, but I have represented many of these armories, including the one nearly next door. My colleague, the author, and I are hailed from the same hometown, and there is a decrepit armory there, too. I don't know what the current status, Senator, but I'm sure they've been struggling. And they have been, in my opinion, and that's a personal opinion, and observed this over decades, that they have deteriorated, notwithstanding the support of local communities and local veterans and veterans organizations to keep them up. So it is a challenge, and I certainly will attest to the mayor, city manager, the manager's comments about the community and the difficulties of the valley right now. And it does serve a noble purpose. I'm looking forward to supporting the bill.
Very good. Thank you. Let me give you my comments. Oh, I'm so sorry. Yes, Senator.
As the only female veteran serving on the state Senate floor, I applaud the author for bringing a wee neighbor. We share Kern County, so I applaud this piece of legislation. I'll be supporting it today. I did have one question, because I'm not exactly sure how it transitions. If it goes from the state, right now the state doesn't pay any taxes, right, on the property. If it goes to the veterans community, you guys are going to figure that out?
I believe in the bill is the property transfer. We would get the property transfer, but we would then lease it essentially at no cost to the Reedley area vets. They have dealt with this armory so well over the past decade. We don't want to get involved in their business. They've been doing their business very well.
So, great. Okay. Yeah. I was just curious about the tax structure. I wasn't sure if that had been addressed, and so I just wanted to make sure that we addressed that before it got out of the committee. So thank you.
Thank you, Senator Grove. Yes, sir.
One more point on that, this bill may not be the target of opportunity to do the things that my colleague, Senator Roth, has suggested, which need to be done. It may or may not be the proper vehicle, because this may require a little bit of study. And certainly the criteria may be for a depressed community or a hardship circumstance. But maybe just some non-precedential language could be inserted here in the bill, that this is not a precedent obliging future decisions, which we can't do anyway, but that often is put in bills, including one this very day in another committee for another purpose. But it's not precedential. That might comfort that we're not obliging anybody in the future in such a circumstance. Just a thought.
Okay. Thank you. If I may comment. I'd like to point out that I think every bill is an individual. In this particular situation, this is an individual situation where we acknowledge the fact that the veterans of your community and your city have worked so hard over the years to come back and serve our great country, and this is our way of saying thank you, obviously. But with that thank you comes conditions, and that condition is that you maintain it for 5 years. You improve it, you maintain it, and it is always to be for the use of veterans, the purpose of veterans, and not necessarily given to the American Legion or the GI Forum, or the VFW, or any particular entity, but it is solely for the umbrella of all veterans, and regardless of branches of service, the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marine Corps, the Coast Guard, and the Merchant Marines, they're to be treated fairly and equitably. Women who've served our great country. So I point this out to you, City Manager, that you have that responsibility,
yes.
That it doesn't belong to one unit, it belongs to all units. It doesn't belong to one particular entity in your community, but to all the community. This is very, very unusual for the state of California to acknowledge this, to give you the use for the 5 years, and then to come back and say if you've met those obligations, then it will go to your city. So be very careful that you maintain the laws of your own city in reference to the condition, the use, the maintenance, the exterior, the interior, as we had mentioned, the air conditioning, heating, and so on. So it's very important. And any time a veteran needs help, they should come right to that Veterans Resource Center. And I think that should be the Veterans Resource Center of your city. And acknowledge it with pride because it is reflective of the men and women who served in your great city. So with that, Senator Hurtado, I want to congratulate you for doing this, standing up for your community as you have, and I will go ahead and let you close.
Thank you. I respectfully ask for an aye vote.
Okay. And we can go take the roll. Oh, comment? We have a motion.
Yes. Go ahead. Senate Bill 501, do pass, but first we refer to rules. Archuleta?
Aye.
Archuleta, aye. Grove? Grove, aye. Hurtado?
Aye.
Hurtado, aye. Nielsen?
Aye.
Nielsen, aye. Roth?
Aye.
Roth, aye. Umberg? Wilk?
Aye.
Wilk, aye.
It does pass, but it can hold the roll.
It will hold the roll for the remaining vote. So congratulations. Thank you. Thank you, committee members. I appreciate your comments as we wait for next one up. Senator Steve Glazier. Okay. Senator Glazier, thank you for being here. You have SJR 7, and you have the floor.
Thank you. thank you, Chair Archuleta and members. It's great to be with you to talk about an issue that is an important part of our history, both in California and, of course, for our nation. But this resolution urges Congress to honor Merrill's Marauders, a group of World War II heroes in a largely forgotten chapter of that great contest. 14 of the original volunteers, and there were 3,000, are still with us, all in their 90s. This resolution would urge Congress to bestow the Congressional Gold Medal on these brave men. Now, the bit of history that I know is contained in the resolution, but let me summarize part of it. Merrill's Marauders was a United States Army Special Operations Unit, which became famous for the dangerous mission that they conducted behind enemy lines in the jungle of Burma. Among the 3,000 American soldiers who volunteered for this mission, 15 ethnic groups from every state were represented, including Baton Death March survivors, Nisei interpreters, and Native American code talkers. Some even joined the group from the Stockades, nicknamed the Dead End Kids, where volunteering earned their freedom. One of the major staging grounds for this mission was in Pittsburgh, in my district, from Camp Stoneman. Recently, one of the last survivors placed a wreath at Camp Stoneman Memorial at the Pittsburgh Historical Museum to commemorate the 75th anniversary of the 1944 Merrill's Marauders mission. I ask you today to join me in honoring these men and asking Congress to acknowledge their heroism. For that, I appreciate your favorable consideration, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. I have moved the bill. Is there anyone in opposition to this bill? Anyone in support of this bill? You're welcome to step up to the mic.
Good afternoon, Chair members. My name is Seth Reed with Reed Government Relations. Representing the American GI Forum of California, American Legion Department of California, AMVETS Department of California, California Association of County Veteran Service Officers, California State Commanders Veterans Council, Military Officers Association of America, California Council of Chapters, National Guard Association of California, and the Vietnam Veterans of America, California State Council, all in support. Thank you.
Thank you. Senators, any members have any questions or comments? Yes, sir. And okay, I'd like to comment. I would just like to point out that this unit, from my understanding, is an offshoot that originated from all the volunteers who have come together to serve our great country above and beyond the call of duty. And what they were able to accomplish in World War II was amazing. And that led us to our Rangers and our Special Forces, and men and women who today are serving in these remote places of the world. And this was an example of what history can show us. And would you once again, Senator, tell us the number of World War II veterans who served in this unit that are still with us?
Currently, only 14 of the original 3,000 volunteers are still with us, all, of course, in
14.
Their 90s.
So with that, I am honored to say that I think we're all in support for their service. So I would like to go ahead and congratulate you for your presentation, and I think we're ready to call the roll.
Mr. Chairman, in my close, could
make
one reference? U.S. Army Ranger Tom Stove was expected to be with us today. Unfortunately, traffic has gotten in the way of him arriving in time. But I wanted to mention that he's a Ranger, and as you noted, that the Rangers have a patch that's the Merrill Marauders patch on their uniform in honor of that great, courageous mission that they undertook. And with that, thank you for your consideration.
Well, may I, because that Ranger's not in the house, may I symbolically tell you that my son, Matthew Archuleta, is a Ranger, and I'll take that and hand it to you. How's that?
That's very nice, Mr.
Very
Chairman.
Good.
Thank you.
Madam Secretary, the roll, please.
SJR 7 to be adopted. Archuleta?
Aye.
Archuleta, aye. Grobe? Hurtado? Hurtado, aye.
You.
Nielsen?
Aye.
Nielsen, aye. Roth?
Aye.
Roth, aye. Umberg?
Thank you.
Wilk?
Aye.
Wilk, aye. It does pass.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for bringing that to us. Okay.
And say we're holding the roll open.
And we will be holding the roll for a couple of the members. And thank you so much. Okay.
So just call the roll again. Open the roll.
Okay. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to go ahead and open the roll. Madam Secretary.
Senate Bill 245, due but first re-referred appropriations. Grove?
Aye.
Grove, aye. Nielsen?
Aye.
Nielsen, aye. Umberg?
Aye.
Umberg, aye. Senate, that bill does pass out. That bill does pass out.
That bill has been...
Senate Bill 245 passes out.
Senate Bill 245 will pass on.
Senate Bill 500, due pass but first re-referred appropriations. Nielsen?
Aye.
Nielsen, aye. Umberg?
Aye.
Umberg, aye.
And the bill passes and it moves sent on as well.
Senate Bill 501, due pass but first we refer to rules. Umberg.
Aye.
Umberg, aye. Senate Bill 501 passes out.
Senate Bill 501 will pass on. Thank you.
SJR 7 to be adopted. Grove.
Aye.
Grove, aye. Umberg.
Aye.
Umberg, aye. SJR 7 passes out.
And that bill will pass on as well. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That concludes our meeting for the day. Thank you.